Let's talk about the we're not going to take it part of our society, of our world. The idea that, yeah, you can legally protest, but I wonder, does it really do anything? We're looking back to last week, and last week we had graduate students and teachers' assistants, and they were, in essence, protesting. They were picketing, and they were trying to get the message across that they didn't feel that they were being treated properly by Western University. And remember, Western was saying that the deal they had offered would make them among the best compensated, and they were contending they were among the worst compensated. And so all this did was tie up some traffic a little bit. Now, not terribly, but enough. We had people saying they were taking London Transit, and it was stop and go at times. So that's enough. But as people who are looking on, do we not look and say, hey, couldn't you find a different way to do this? So we wanted to have a little conversation about protests and how things have carried out, maybe during history. And who better than to have this conversation with than Dr. Ron Stagg from Toronto Metropolitan University, because one of the research interests that Dr. Stagg has is in Canadian social history. Dr. Stagg, thanks for taking some time for us.
Happy to be with you.
We have all kinds of examples of protests throughout history. In 2024, do you think protests look like they did back through history? Are we dealing with anything different?
There is probably overall less violence associated with protests today. The basic idea is the same, but there tended to be more violence associated with the kinds of protests that went on. Violence comes when people protest because they feel they're not being heard, and then they feel that they're still not being heard. And so in some instances, violence takes place.
And fortunately, as you've alluded to, we're not seeing the element of violence in the same way. So I hate to ask it this way, but does that make protests less impactful?
No. Often the protests, once they degenerate into violence, provoke a reaction from the other side. Think, for instance, of the protests in Hong Kong, and they were heavily put down. So you take a chance when you resort to violence. You've got to be sure that the other side is going to back down.
Dr. Ron Stagg joining us from Toronto Metropolitan University. As we talk about protests and protesting, can we draw correlations to protests, Dr. Stagg, that this is happening, the protest happens, and then all of a sudden the people protesting are heard, they get their way? Or do we just grab a coin and maybe flip it 50-50? Maybe they do, maybe they don't?
That's basically it. It depends on the other side, how strong the other side, how much authority it has. So, for instance, the Chinese government had the power to clamp down. In the truckers' protest in Canada, the government ultimately really overstepped and used their powers. But they had the power. They didn't want to use it. That's the thing. Because this isn't an authoritarian government, despite what people then were saying. So it really depends on who you're facing. It also depends on there not being an alternative view which takes the edge off it. For instance, the pro-Palestinian protests that are going on now, they're to get public support, but they're also to tell the government, you have to recognize the state of Palestine. But the government's very aware there's a large Jewish population in Canada, and some of them do not have the same point of view. So that takes the edge off what the government has to do.
We are talking with Dr. Ron Stagg who is a professor at Toronto Metropolitan University. Is it something that, I mean, humans forever? Are we going to look at this? Is there ever a conversation that maybe there's a better way to do it? Not sure I can think of one, but do you ever think we get to that point where protesting is done differently?
No. The alternative to protesting is, of course, petitions. You get a large number of people to support a petition in the hopes that that will put the same pressure on. But it's not generally as effective as turning out in large numbers. You've got to turn out in large numbers. You've got to keep the protest going. And ideally, it's got to grow to show the other side that it has support. So there really isn't an alternative. Human beings are going to continue to do this.
Dr. Stagg, really appreciate the conversation today. Thank you so much for your thoughts on this.
You're very welcome.
That's Dr. Ron Stagg from Toronto Metropolitan University, as he is someone who has researched Canadian social history and also has a keen eye on other histories around the world. So the idea that protests, yeah, sure, they are here to stay. Are they as impactful, effective? Dr. Stagg says they're a lot less violent than what they used to be, which is a good thing in my books, but we'll see what we get as we move forward. As he says, if you want to make a point, you need more and more people to show that support. And then maybe you are saying to those in power, all right, here we go. This is who we have behind us. This is who you're not listening to if you ignore us.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.